الله الرحمن الرحيم. The fiqh of the masajid, part 7. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وآله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. أسأل الله أن يوفقنا لما يحبه ويرضى. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. May Allah reward you, brothers, and you know, congratulations, and I welcome you, inshallah, to tonight's lesson on the fiqh of the salah. And alhamdulillah, we're reading in the chapter of the masajid, the hadith on the salah. One of the subsections is on the masajid, and we're continuing in the commentary on that section on the masajid. And the commentary is from our beloved Shaykh Atiyah Muhammad Sanam from the Masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the hadith is from the book Balugh al-Maram min Adillatil Ahkam by Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. Okay, so today we have a new hadith, inshaAllah ta'ala. This hadith is about the ruling of playing in the masjid. Playing and having celebrations in the masjid. The hadith is narrated by Aisha radiallahu anha, and she said, I was with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was covering me, and I was looking at the Ethiopian dancers. They were playing in the masjid, or dancing in the masjid. Aisha radiallahu anha, she says, رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَسْتُرُنِي وَأَنَا أَنْظُرُ إِنَ الْحَبَشَةِ يَلْعَبُونَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. This hadith is by Bukhari and Muslim. So here, this is the author, he brings this hadith, which is part of a longer narration. When Aisha radiallahu anha, she was with the Prophet and she was watching some Ethiopians who were doing a type of dance, a type of war dance, or playing with spears inside of the masjid. She was hiding behind the Prophet and she was peeking and watching them, and so the Prophet was covering her. Could they see Aisha? The dancers, no, but she could peek out and she could see them. Even until the Prophet told Aisha, he said, did you get enough? She said, no, I want to watch more. She was really enjoying it. And this was on the day of Eid. It was the day of Eid. So, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she wanted to watch them play with their spears. You know, kind of pretending like they were fighting. You know, pretend with the spears and things like that. They, you know, kind of like an entertainment, you could say, where the people they were doing that. They were the Ethiopian people who were doing that. So here, what's important in this hadith, that why did the author put this hadith in the chapter on the masajid, the masjids? What is the important? What is the lesson we learn from this hadith? The ulama say that it shows that it's the Prophet ﷺ, he allowed the Ethiopians to play and do this kind of dance in the masjid, which means that is it permissible today to allow people to come and dance in the masjid and entertain the people and play around in the masjid? Is that allowed or not? He said, no, it's not. Why not? The Prophet ﷺ, he allowed it, on the day of Eid. Is the day of Eid kind of different than the rest of the days? Is it more special?
Yes.
The day of Eid is different than the other days. There's more leniency, you could say. Yes. There was once, there's another hadith actually, that the Prophet ﷺ, he was leaning on his mat and Aisha was there, and there was two singers, two young girls, they were singing. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was leaning. And this was also on Eid. Then Abu Bakr walked in. Abu Bakr, he walked into the room. And he said, "Is there a flute of the shaitan in the house of the Prophet ﷺ?" He didn't like the fact that these girls were singing. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Leave them alone, it's Eid." No, so he didn't mind that the girls were singing on the day of Eid. So what do we learn from this? That on the day of Eid, there's more leniency to have some kind of happiness, some kind of entertainment that wouldn't normally be done on other times of the year. Now, and you know also, why do we have this kind of relaxation on the day of Eid? Why are we allowed to like have this relaxation? The ulama, they actually explain that, and the Yahud people, they had so many holidays. Every time they had some occasion, they would make it a holiday. But then when the Prophet ﷺ, he came to Medina, he canceled out all of the holidays, and he said, "Allah has given us two Eids. It's better than all the other Eids they have." And what is special about these two Eids? What makes them special, different than the other Eids they had, is that when do we have the Eid? After what? Like Eid al-Fitr is after what? After fasting. After fasting a whole month, like doing so much hard work worshipping Allah, then the Eid comes. It's a big act of worship, and then we have Eid, like a relaxation after the long month of fasting. What about the other Eid? What does it come after? The Eid al-Adha. After the Hajj pilgrimage. When a person, they go for Hajj, is that easy or does that require some sacrifice and effort? You've been several times. Traveling, as the Prophet ﷺ said, it's a type of punishment. When a person, they travel, they don't know when they're going to eat next, they don't know when they're going to sleep, their schedule gets changed. It's a type of punishment. So after coming back from the Ramadan, I'm sorry, after finishing fasting, this great act of worship, after finishing the Hajj, the great act of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, or He commanded us to have an Eid. So they both come after hardship. And so after hardship comes ease. Yes, enjoyment and ease. So that there's some some reason to be more lenient on these days, because for people to relax. Okay, so that's what, that kind of dancing, it would be allowed, say, on a day of Eid, rather than other days of the year. And, the reason why we wouldn't have it on other days of the year is because the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in some other hadith, he said the masjids were not built for people announcing, like, the dunya. He said it's for the dhikr of Allah, it's for tasbih, it's for remembering Allah, it's not for playing and announcing dunya things. So normally speaking, the masjid should be preserved, it should be protected from kind of worldly type things or speech about the dunya and other things. But on the day of Eid, there's some leniency. And there's also another reason which the ulama say, There's another reason why the Prophet ﷺ allowed it. And the ulama, they said that when they're doing the war dancing, it's kind of like training them. You know, they're getting ready, they're getting trained for the battle. You know, so they can get some exercise, and it has a benefit for the people, you know, for the sake of the deen. And also people who didn't go out to the battle, they might see that and get some training and some encouragement, you know, on, you know, not being scared and cowardly, but to be brave. And, you know, so it has a benefit. It's like teaching the people, you know, to be encouraging them to not, to be defending the Islam, going, you know, to defend on the battlefield. So there's that's also a beneficial thing. So here the ulama, they say, can a person today have this kind of dancing or have some kind of entertainment in the masjid? They said, if it has a benefit for the people, you know, not just entertainment for no reason, but, you know, it has some encouragement for, you know, encouraging the people to, you know, learn the religion or spread the religion, or, you know, some beneficial purpose behind it. And also, especially on the days of Eid, then, you know, this type of thing is allowed, inshallah ta'ala. We're continuing on this hadith that Aisha, she was hiding behind the Prophet ﷺ, and she was peeking out and looking at the Ethiopians playing with the spears and dancing in the masjid. So another question that comes up, or something that we learn from this hadith, when Aisha, she's hiding behind the Prophet ﷺ, we have a type of understanding of social relations in Islam, where men, they're not really supposed to look at women, right? Men should not be staring at women. Are women allowed to look at men? In this hadith, Aisha, she was looking at the men, right? So the men were not allowed to look at Aisha, but she was looking at the men, right? She was hiding behind the Prophet system. She would peek and see them and watch them playing, and then she would hide behind them. So here, something that we can learn from this hadith also is that there's a difference between a man looking at a woman and a woman looking at the man. There's a difference in the way that in social relations, even though it's better that, you know, a woman shouldn't stare at the man or the man stare at the woman, that would be better, but we, you know, and we even find in some hadiths the Prophet ﷺ, he told his wives, one time there's a blind man, he came to the house of the Prophet ﷺ, and his wives were there, and so he walked in, and the Prophet ﷺ, he told the wives to cover up. The person was blind. They said, "O Messenger of Allah, why should we cover up? He's blind, he can't see us." What do you think he told his wife? Why should they cover the hijab when the person is blind, the man is blind? Do you know what he told the wives? He said, "He's blind, but you're not blind. You can see him." And so modesty, you know, there should be a kind of, the women should feel modest, you know, there's a man here, even though, you know, he cannot look at them, they can see him, and they should feel like, you know, have a higher level of modesty. And, you know, they were the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, so he wanted them to have, you know, a higher level of modesty. But the question here is, is it haram for a woman to look at men? Because Aisha, she was looking at the dancers, the Ethiopian dancers. And so here the ulama, they say, the women, can they leave the house? Are women allowed to leave the house?
Yes, under circumstances.
Yes, women, they're allowed to go out to do their needs, you know, if they have to buy some groceries, they're allowed to go to the masjid, right? The Prophet ﷺ said, do not prevent these female servants of Allah from going to the masjid. He prevented, he told people not to stop the women from going to the masjid. So women are allowed to leave the house. So if the women are going to go out of the house, are they going to see men? Of course. The streets, when they walk on the street, the women are going to have to look at the men on the street. Their manner might be there, they might be working. I mean, it's not possible she's going to always look on the ground. She's going to see men. You know, so here the ulama say that women looking at men is like a necessity. You know, the women, they can't avoid it. You know, if a woman is going outside, there's going to be men on the street. She's going to have to look to avoid the men. And, you know, so it's a necessity. And so it's allowed for her to look at them. But it's still better if she tries to look away too. It's still better if she avoids staring at the men. That would be better. Now, okay, so it's, you know, this is a necessity. But you know, if, you know, the best thing is for men and women not to stare at each other. You know, the woman, if the woman, she sees a man, you know, and she should not, like, because Allah says in the Quran, tell the believing women to lower the gaze and guard their chastity. So it's better for her not to do that. But out of the necessity, the men are very much more than women. You know, there's men everywhere in the street. It's not possible for a woman to leave her house and never look at any man. So, you know, there's some leeway for that, inshallah ta'ala. Okay. So, alhamdulillah, that was a commentary on the hadith of Aisha looking at the dancing people. So is dancing allowed in the masjid? Dancing men? Only on Eid if... No music. They didn't have music. They had spears. You know, basically they were playing with the spears, like pretending they were fighting like on a battlefield. They were doing some kind of dance that they had. And Aisha, she saw that. She was really interested in watching. So she was hiding behind the Prophet ﷺ, and then she would peek and watch. And then after a while, she watched the Prophet ﷺ said, "Did you have enough?" She said no. She wanted to keep watching. So the Prophet ﷺ let her watch. So they say that this kind of dancing was on Eid, and it was for a benefit, because it was teaching the Muslims that to be encouraged, like to be brave and to fight on the battlefield. So that's why it was allowed inside the masjid. Otherwise, normally the masjid should be a place where we don't have, you know, kind of entertainment and things like that. It should be for the dhikr of Allah, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright, so let's go to the next hadith, inshallah. May Allah reward you and give us the understanding. This hadith is about women staying in the masjid, or even living in a place inside of the masjid for a longer period of time. Is this allowed or not? Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wasalam. An Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that a black woman or a black young lady used to have a tent in the Prophet's masjid, and she used to and I used to go, the girl used to come visit me, Aisha, and talk to me. This hadith is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. So here Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, she said that there was a young lady, African lady, she had a tent in the masjid, and she used to come and visit the Aisha and talk to her about things. So here the question is, or in this hadith about this woman who had a tent, there was a story we read before about a woman who used to sweep the masjid. there was an African lady, she used to sweep the masjid. Do you remember that story? With a brother here, Brother Muhammad. I don't know if he remembers. You know, there was a woman, African lady, who used to clean the masjid. And when she died, at night, the Sahaba buried her. The Prophet ﷺ, he asked the Sahaba, "Why didn't you wake me up? I would have prayed for her." And then he went to her grave and he prayed for her. So she was a very special woman. So the question is this the same woman or not? We don't really know. But the point is here, is that she had a tent and she lived in the masjid. And so the ulama say that it was a necessity. She didn't have a home. She didn't have a place to stay, or her family had made her leave, or the people in charge of her, they made her leave the house, so she had to stay in the masjid. And so here, it's allowed for the woman to make her tent in the masjid, as long as it's away from the men. You know, she can stay there, but it shouldn't be close by where the men is. There's another story about this. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, he put his tent in the masjid for i'tikaf, right, in Ramadan, to stay in the masjid. So one of the wives, they said, "Can I put my tent in the masjid too?" And he allowed her. He gave her the permission to stay in the masjid. Then another wife, she saw that wife, she put her tent in the masjid. And then another one, and another one. So the Prophet ﷺ, he came out in the morning and he said, "What are all these tents? Who put all these tents here?" And they said, "These are the wives, your wives. They wanted to do i'tikaf in the masjid." The Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Did they do this al-dir? Did they want to do it for the sake of Allah? Or are they just trying to compete with each other?" Then he was upset. He took his tent out and he didn't do i'tikaf that year in Ramadan. He made it up afterwards, because he felt that they were, you know, he didn't want to continue his i'tikaf. He completed it later on when he saw the wives doing that. So again, what do we see from this hadith? That he allowed the wife to put her tent in the masjid when the first wife did it. But then when he saw that the other wives were doing it, then he told them to remove the tents. So again, it's allowed for a woman to stay in the masjid and even have a place away from the men, to have a tent away from the men in the masjid, inshallah ta'ala. Okay, so that's this hadith here. We'll go to the next one, inshallah ta'ala. Next hadith is something we covered previously, which is about spitting in the masjid. Spitting in the masjid. So here the hadith here is narrated by an Anas radiallahu anhu. He says the Prophet ﷺ said, "Spitting in the masjid is a sin." Spitting in the masjid is a sin, and the expiation is to cover it up, to bury it. This is agreed upon by Bukhari and Muslim. Al-bisaqu fi al-masjid khati'a wa kafaratuha dafnuha. Muttafaqun alayh. Okay. So here we, respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we come to the next hadith in the chapter on the masajid, on the houses of Allah. And here the Prophet ﷺ, he said, spitting in the masjid is a sin. Because the masjid, the house of Allah, it's a place, there's certain manners. When we come to the masjid, we have certain manners. We're supposed to respect the masjid. It's a place of ibadah. And the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, whoever honors, whoever glorifies the symbols of Allah, that is from the taqwa in the hearts, the sha'air of Allah. The masjid is a symbol of the worship of Allah. To respect the masjid, it's from the taqwa. To have respect for the masjid, it is a sign of piety. So spitting in the masjid is lack of respect for the masjid. Now, also, and you know, we're going to talk about what does it mean to have respect for the masjid, and is decorating the masjid part of respect for the masjid? We're going to talk about that in the next hadith. But here in this hadith, the ulama, they say, spitting in the masjid is sinful. It is sinful. So what should a person do if they spit in the masjid? First of all, to make things a little bit, you know, clear for us, the masjid in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they weren't carpeted. They had dirt on the ground. So sometimes they would spit. You know, and the Prophet ﷺ, he said, when you're praying, don't spit in front of you, because you're facing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, don't spit on your right, because that will harm your neighbor. And in some narrations he said, spit on your left and bury it. Or some narrations he said, spit in a handkerchief. Somebody, they have to blow their nose or spit, they should keep a handkerchief and, you know, use that. They shouldn't pollute the masjid in any way. And even we read the hadith of somebody, he had spit on the wall, and the Prophet said, some of his own hands, or with a rock, he scraped it off out of respect for the masjid. And he said, whoever spit here, he shouldn't be, you know, allowed to do that again. So it shows you the respect for the house of Allah. You know that when a person, if they have to do that, when they have the dirt on the floor, they should bury it. Nowadays, you know, we have the carpet, so obviously nobody should spit on the floor, but they should always keep a napkin and, you know, use that, a handkerchief. Another issue that you know, that we look at in this hadith is, he said burying it, you know, to bury it, that's what the expiation for it. Okay, you know, also what happened in the time of the Prophet, they had mud on the floor. And on one night, it was Laylatul Qadr, the Prophet ﷺ made the sajda and he had mud all on his forehead when he came up from the sajda. So the Sahaba, what they did is they took pebbles, they filled their robes up with pebbles, and they came and they filled the prayer spaces with these, you know, soft pebbles, so that the mud would not get on the Sahaba. And so when they filled the whole prayer area with pebbles, that would prevent the mud from getting on the Sahaba. And the Prophet saw that. He said, this is a ni'mah. He said, this is a blessing. So in the time of the Prophet, they had these different ways of on the floor, but they didn't have carpeting. They did not have the carpeting. Nowadays, you know, what we have is the carpeting. So definitely nobody should spit on the floor of the masjid. Because even in those days, if you spit there, somebody might step on it. Somebody might sit in that place. So out of respect for the house of Allah and respect for other Muslimin, to keep it clean. Keeping the masjid clean is an act of worship. And there's a hadith that says that the Prophet ﷺ said, all the actions of my ummah were shown to me, even removing some dirt from the masjid. So keeping the masjid clean is from the ibadat, from the good acts of worship. Okay, the next hadith is a very, very important hadith on the masajid. Very, very important and critical hadith, which is competing in the building of the masajid. Competition in building the masajid and the prohibition of that. Okay, so let's go and let's read the hadith together, inshallah. This hadith is also narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu. And he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تقوم الساعة حتى يتباهى الناس بالمساجد. أخرجه الخمسة إلى الترمذي وصححه ابن خزيمة. So here Anas radiallahu anhu, he states that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the hour, the last hour, the day of judgment, will not happen until people compete with each other in the masjids, i.e. they compete with each other in building and decorating the masajid. Now, so this hadith here about competing in building and decorating the masajid, the scholars, they include this hadith in the signs of the hour, the signs of the coming of the Day of Judgment. And it's from the minor signs of the coming of the Day of Judgment. So the Prophet ﷺ, he informed us that before the coming of the last hour, people would compete with each other. They would compete with each other in building masajid. Either in the number of the masajid, they would want to build more, or they would try to build them bigger or more beautiful in the way they build them. So some of the ulama talking about this, how people are competing in the building of bigger and more beautiful masajid, they said, the people have not been lost in their religion except for competing in the masajid and decorating the masahif. They said nothing has made the people become more astray than competing in building the masajid and decorating the masahif, the Qur'ans. Another one of the salaf, he said, very interesting, he said they build masjids but they don't pray in them, and they decorate the masahif and they don't read them. Another one of them, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he said some of them, they take a beautiful prayer rug and they take a sabha, you know, the beads for counting, and they take a mushaf and they beautify it and they cover it and make it so beautiful. And then he said, as for the prayer rug, they don't pray on it. And as for the subha, they don't make any tasbih of Allah. And as for the Quran, the mushaf, they don't read it. And he said, you know, this is just like a habit that people have. They just turned it into a habit. So you see, the salaf, they had very strong words about turning these things into habits. He said, nothing has made the people go astray more than beautifying and building the masajid and decorating the Qur'ans. So the ulama here, they say that in some countries they have the competition for the knowledge. In some countries, they had a lot of knowledge in those countries, and the ulama had a lot of respect. So what did some people do? They started dressing like the ulama, and they started buying books and building libraries without even reading the books. They would have, like, in their house a big library, and they never read any of the books, in order to just show to the people as if they are from the people of knowledge. You know, so they say, you know, so-and-so has such a beautiful library. It has so-and-so many books. It's so beautiful. This is what they used to boast. Yeah, I think that's a better word. They boasting in the building of masajid and competing. Boasting and competing in the building of masajid and even in the libraries. Now, and you know, for example, there might be a masjid in a neighborhood, and somebody else comes and he builds another masjid in the same neighborhood without any need for it. And then they say, those people have a masjid, so we want to have our masjid. And then another group of people come and they say, we want to have another masjid. And they build their own masjid without a need for it. So each group of people, they want to build another masjid, another masjid, another masjid, without any need for it. And there's no large distance between these masajid. If they're very, very close together, they're not separated by a large distance. And there's no hardship of everybody going to the one place. There's no hardship in doing that. And so the Shaykh, he says here that if the first masjid has enough room for everybody, then this is the competing. This is the competing and the boasting. If the first masjid had enough room for everybody, then this would be competing in building masajid. And the virtue is for the oldest one. The virtue is for the oldest one. If it is true that the people are competing and building these masajid, then the most virtue would be for the oldest masjid. And so here the Shaykh, you know, he explained in this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ warned us about the end of time and competing in the masajid. He said that, you know, people will compete in the shape of the masajid. You know, the masjid, it becomes like people competing in the shape and the decoration and the architecture. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, in order to boast for that amongst people. And Allah, He mentions that the building of the masjid, it should be for the dhikr of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nur, He says, "Fi buyutin adhina Allahu," in houses where Allah has permitted that His name is raised. "An turfa wa tuthkara fiha." The purpose of the masjid is mentioned in the Quran, so Allah's name is raised. So Allah's name is praised in those masajid. Now. And then Allah says, describing the people of those masajid, you know, they remember Allah in the morning and in the evening, men who are not distracted from the remembrance of Allah and the prayer and the zakat by business and selling, buying and selling. So here the Shaykh says, when we find people competing and boasting and the building of the masajid, and they expand it and they make it taller and they make it more beautiful, and you know, competing with one another, then they have fallen into this hadith. They have fallen into the warning of this hadith, which is about competing in the masjid, in the building of the masjid. So some of the ulama, they had a view. One of the imams of the madhahib, he said that beautifying the masjid is part of honoring it. Decorating the masjid is part of honoring it and paying attention to it. And, you know, so just like a person will decorate his own house, he decorates the masjid. But the reality is that the masjid is not like a person's home. The masjid, the home is for living, it's for relaxing. The masjid is for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the proofs they give for decorating the masajid, there's a hadith that says, whoever builds a house for the sake of Allah, Allah will build one like it for him in paradise. So then they say that if Allah is going to build a house like the one He built here in paradise, so then the ones here should look like the ones in paradise. So they say that means that we have to make it, you know, beautiful, and just like we want in paradise, we should want to make it here. This is what the proof they give us. But the Shaykh, he said that, are the houses in Jannah gonna, are they, do they look like the houses of this world? In the paradise? It's nothing like this world, right? And it is what no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what no heart has ever felt. Even it says that some houses are built in paradise from a pearl. The whole palace is built from a single pearl. So we cannot really imagine what the houses of paradise are like. So to say that the masjid in this world should look like the masjid in paradise, we have no way of knowing what those palaces look like in paradise. Now, so here, so the person who builds the house, you know, and he decorates it, and he competes in this decoration, then this is falling in the hadith that the hour will not begin until people compete in the building of the masajid. This is in the shape, the architecture, the decoration, the size, the height, the type of building material, and the decoration. All of this is things that people compete in. And however, Shaykh, he says something very important, we'll close with this. If the people compete in the number of people praying, if they compete in the knowledge, you know, in the numbers of people coming and learning and etc., you know, the beneficial things in the masajid, then he said this is a good kind of competition. Where people, they want to encourage more people to come, have more activity in the masjid and life in the masjid. This is the good competition that we should have. This is a good type of competing. So this hadith here, it tells us that from the literal meaning of the hadith, that it's something bad, you know, something negative, that the hour, the day of judgment is not going to begin until this sign happens, where people compete in building masajid. And if we understand the hadith, he said it means that it's prohibited, that it's haram to do that. It's haram to compete with one another in building the masajid and decorating them and the architecture, unlike like people do when they build their houses, when they build their villas, they try to make them more beautiful and more attractive. This should not be done in the house, or even cars. People, they want to have more fancy car, right? More beautiful, more color, more newer, more nicer model. This should not be done with the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because that is changing the purpose of the masjid. The purpose of the masjid, it is to make the remembrance of Allah and the things related to it, and it should not be for personal benefit. The masjid should be for the remembrance of Allah, and it should not be for personal gain and personal purposes of benefit. And Allah knows best. Wa jazakallahu khairan. Sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.